Welcome back, Matt Chats, episode 7, and what a huge episode it is. Finally, the mysterious Gooch, who we've had on before to question Usman Khedira. We haven't revealed his identity, but we're about to. Hayden Narducci, welcome to Matt Chats.
Thanks for having me on, Matt. Obviously, I'm just really stoked to finally be here and get my own episode. I've been begging you for months, years now to try and get on, and finally I've got a spot.
To be fair, you do say years. I think it was a year nearly between the first and the second episode, so
that's pretty niche. What other podcasts are producing those kind of numbers?
Exactly. Look, great to have you here. Obviously, yep. You've got your own podcast, The Footy Yarn.
Yep.
And you play down at the Kenwick Cricket Club, like a lot of our former guests.
Yeah, I think that's maybe poor recruitment on your behalf. Maybe you need to branch out and try and go to some different sporting arenas. Maybe stick away from the sports and just go down to the local shopping centre and just say, hi, have you ever thought about being on a podcast?
I mean, look, we've had Colby on over the phone. Yep. We've had Sean Ingram. We've had yourself.
Yep.
Bryce has never played for Kenwick.
Okay.
I don't think Usman Khedira's ever played for Kenwick.
He's played against the Swedes, although he won't admit it. And I think that's just about close enough to playing against Kenwick, given there was a lot of Kenwick players in that Swede side.
Can you delve into what happened that day? Obviously, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a bit about how that went down? Because I keep hearing these rumours.
Well, I'll tell you the story. So, obviously, it was an early morning game on a Sunday morning. And I just spent the previous night at Warman's, and we had to get up early. He lives in Spearwood. We were going to Carrawarra, where the game was, at Trinity Playing Fields. And, we got up nice and early, had to get there for 7:30. It was a long drive. Got our Milos in, and we were ready for the game, and we thought, let's really get this bread. And we come against this team who are all of this certain ethnic persuasion. And one of them you see, and he looks quite like Usman Khedira. And obviously, it's not a racist thing, but it's just like you see someone and you're like, he looks like them, but you're like, am I being racist right now if I think he looks like them?
Didn't you say he's wearing a Melville cap as well?
And then we saw he was wearing a Melville cap, and we thought, boy oh boy wowee, this is probably Usman Khedira. And he comes on to bowl, but he's bowling left arm leggies, which isn't too surprising. If you could bowl left arm leggies, I don't see why he'd bowl right arm. This was just after the Big Bash season, I believe. And
so they might have wanted to not be too dominant.
And it was AstroTurf cricket at Trinity Playing Field. So obviously he maybe didn't want to try his heart out, but he absolutely dominated us, except for one batsman who really stood up against the adversity and pushed him for a couple of ones and twos, which was myself. And he came up to me after the game and he was like, good stuff, you're really good. And I'm like, no, really not, brother. Ones and two, getting pushed for ones and twos for him should be a good effort considering his previous stint in the Big Bash.
Yeah, it didn't go too well for him, did it?
No, but he got an appearance on Matt Chats at the end of the day, so he did. I'd call it a great success.
He did. It was an exciting time for him, and an exciting time for us as well, I guess you'd say. Now, obviously, the cricket is finally back. It looks like Australia are going to take on England in the T20 series first up, I believe, Saturday morning at 1 a.m, so I'm sure you'll be up and ready to go.
Look, watching cricket is maybe the only part of cricket I actually enjoy these days.
Nice.
Will I be up at 1 a.m. on a Saturday? Hopefully not, but geez, I probably will be.
Nice. Now, obviously, I asked you before you came in, I wanted to go through our lineups. So, obviously, we're playing, I think it's 3 T20s and 3 1-dayers.
Yep.
So, I wanted to go through and get what you think the Australian T20 11 should be. I'll give mine.
Yep.
And then we'll go through the 1-day 11s each and have a little bit of a discussion about it.
Okay.
So, if you want to start off.
Should we structure this? I know this is your podcast.
Yeah,
I don't
fine.
Mean to attack your structure of things. Should
All
we
good.
Structure this so we go like opening bats, batsmen and keeper, bowlers, you know, one by one?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So, obviously, I've got Warner and Finch, the opening pair. Pretty obvious partnership, unless you've gone for maybe Ty and Labuschagne sort of.
No, I've gone with Warner and Finch to open.
Yep.
Going to lock them in. Who's your number three?
Well, I'll go 3 through to 6.
Okay, yep.
I've got Smith at 3.
Yep.
Stoinis at 4. I think he's, you know, he can open, so I think having him at 4 is a very good option in case you lose a couple early, get him in and it's basically opening. Maxwell at 5 and Wade at 6.
Okay. For my T20 side, I've got Stoinis at 3.
Yep.
Smith at 4.
Okay.
I've got Carey at 5.
Okay.
I've got Wade at 6.
Okay.
So Carey taking the gloves.
Yeah, well, for my number 7, I've gone Josh Phillippe, and I haven't given Carey a spot in my side. I've given Phillippe the gloves.
Wow.
And I just thought, I want to see what this young fella can do, obviously. He's pretty exciting in the Big Bash. And when you look at that, you know, that middle order, that's three blokes in there who can all open the batting as well. So if you really just want to restructure it, maybe drop Finch down to 4 and chuck one of them up the order, go crazy.
Now, I said I had... Obviously, 5 Carey, 6 Wade. At 7, I'm going to put Maxwell. But that order could be so interchangeable.
Yeah, just depending on what goes on, what's needed. My bowling attack, I've gone Pat Cummins, Jai Richardson, Mitch Stark and Adam Zampa, which I thought Ashton Agar was a bit rough. Obviously, I think he could slot in for maybe a Matt Wade and then drop down to 7, depending on what we're needing as the series goes on, but I think that's what I'm going with for now.
My bowling attack, I've gone with Cummins,
yep.
Stark,
yep.
Ty.
Okay, I like that.
And Zampa. I just think Ty gives a bit of variation that they won't be expecting.
Fair enough, yeah. You look at the ones that I did, Cummins, Richardson and Stark, they're very regulation, just fast bowlers, and I do like that inclusion of Ty on your behalf.
We've brought in a lot of pace bowls for this series. Like, there's a lot there.
Which is strange considering it's England, when we always see that the fastest fast bowlers don't always work.
You need your Siddle types and your Sayers.
Maybe this is the time for Dan Worrells to come in and play a T20.
Maybe.
Which, just as a quick side story, did you see Big Bash is having its 4th ever direct trade?
Yes.
Dan Worrell for Billy Stan. Like, you're a Stars fan. As a Stars fan, how do you feel about that?
Not happy.
Yeah.
I'd rather keep Worrell. I know Stanley has that raw pace, but it's sort of like a Tate. Like, he breaks down a lot. It's exciting because he's quick, but is he that good?
No, and at least Tate was, like, insanely quick.
Yeah.
Stanlake's just quick.
Worrell swings it, moves the ball. I didn't mind him.
And
you know?
He's got such a nice run-up. Does he still sport the sideburns these days?
I'm not too sure. But in terms of the Big Bash trade period, that's the fourth travel time. I wanted the trades to be more active.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be a big trade period, and there's players going everywhere, and there's jumping between teams.
I want something crazy, like, you know, we'll trade you one of our international spots for Matt Wade, sort of thing, you know?
Oh, so a team could get 4 international. Yeah, like, I like that.
We'll give you one of our international openings for one of your best players. So clubs really have to go.
That's hot. Okay. I like that. Well, one thing, I think, so the Shield.
Yep.
The Shield / One Day comp should have a weak patch of trades, and then there should be the weak patch of Big Bash trades.
That would be pretty niche.
That would be exciting. I'd like, because there was so much movement in the Shield this season.
But it was, you know, all sort of spread out a bit, and a lot of it was sort of just so long ago that it comes to the time for the Shield season, and then you go, oh, that's right, he moved here.
I keep forgetting Sids is at Tassie.
Yeah, you keep just going, oh, I forgot that move happened, and then it comes time, and you're like, what's Cam Gannon doing bowling for WA?
Exactly.
But just on the Sheffield Shield, there's rumours flying about that it's going to be a South Australia hub Sheffield
Shield.
I've
heard that. Like, 5 matches in South Australia.
No room for One Day is in there. Which is, hopefully it's just not in that hub, and then there will be the One Days, because the domestic One Days are so brutally ignored in Australia.
Look, it is very important that we get the One Days, but I do appreciate that at least they are worrying about the main one, which is the Shield first and foremost.
100%, but I do think we need some more focus and more intent on the One Days.
100%. I think maybe next time we have you on, maybe we could both come up with our ideal state season fixture.
I like that a lot.
And really, because there's some problems with the state season fixture.
There's so many problems, and almost all of them are the Big Bash.
The Big Bash could be great if it went back to its, you know, BBL3 sort of mould.
Let's just get it done in like a month and a half. Start it like in December, finish it on Australia Day.
I like it.
It's so simple. You know, you get that beautiful patch where it's like just before the school holidays finish as well. Australia Day, everyone's got the day off. Everyone's got that long weekend. You can make it sort of like a grand final day thing for the AFL. Obviously, it won't be as big, but it's sort of like a thing where everyone's like, oh, got the day to myself. Let's watch the Big Bash final.
I like it.
Some piss, you know,
I like
have a barbie.
It'd be exciting. if Cricket Australia is listening.
I'm sure they will be. Who is the big dog? It's not.
It's changed now. It's some other bloke.
Yeah.
G'day, new fella.
Yeah. Congratulations on, on the promotion. Give us a message if you want any more tips and tricks. On to the 1 day 11 now,
mate. Yeah, let's go on to the 1 day 11. I'll start this time and you go. Obviously, again, I've gone with Finch and Warner to open.
Same as myself, I think. Again, with the 1 days, it's not so much like anyone could come in. I feel like the only two that could is for the opening role is maybe a Stoinis, a Khawaja, who was
overlooked,
hard done by, and a Travis Head, even.
Look, this is what I think they'll select. If I'm from a niche Australian standpoint, I want all the regulars to be outed, and I want to see Sans play. I want to see Meredith. I want to see Felipe.
I wouldn't be too upset if, like, back in New Zealand all those years ago, Steve Smith hurt himself, and in comes Sam Hazlitt.
He played one day, didn't he?
He did. That is horrible. I was so stoked because I remember meeting Sam Hazlitt. I was stoked when he was playing for Queensland, and you know, I remember we were young lads and we were just like, who are you? And he was like, that's actually how we met Riley Meredith as well. Look at that. When we start meeting and talking to these domestic nobodies, they get into the Australia one day setup.
Look, I'm just going to say, so Sam Hazlitt, I remember, like, obviously you met him that day and discovered who he was. I remember, I'm sure he got picked and I was like, who is that?
Yeah, I was so stoked. There were so many good batsmen, like, kicking about, and they were like, oh, Steve Smith's out, let's, you know, that Sam Hazlitt bloke has played like two or three first class games, maybe one or two Matador Cup games and a Big Bash. No, he hadn't even played a Big Bash game by then, I don't think.
I have no idea.
It was insane. But yeah, I also went with Warner and Finch for my opening partnership.
Okay, well, at three I've gone Manus Labuschagne.
I've gone Steve Smith.
Okay. At four, I've gone Smith.
I've gone minus loose bus change.
Okay, nice. Number five, I've gone Alex Carey.
Okay, you're a big fan of Carey up the order, which I think is fair. Yeah. I think Carey does need more of an opportunity batting, but it's so tough in that Australia setup because you don't feel like you have any genuine, like, number seven batsmen. You feel like you have a lot of number four, five batsmen.
That 5, 6, 7 could be so interchangeable, as I said before.
Yeah, I've gone with Glenn Maxwell at number five because, again, as you said, so interchangeable. But it feels like, of the three I'm picking, Maxwell would probably be wasted the most if you had him at number seven. And it feels like what Australia thinks is Carey would be the least wasted. Although I do think he's very talented and maybe he goes up to open one day, maybe just experiment.
I mean, look, if Australia went under 200, I think Maxwell would go in at three.
Yeah, oh, 100%. Number six, I've gone Marcus Stoinis.
I've also gone Marcus Stoinis at six.
Yeah, although I think I genuinely rate Mitch Marsh. Some of his recent form has been pretty good. Obviously, you can't translate it to Australia consistently, but I think if Stoinis were to go out giving Mitch Marsh that number six role, I'd really like to see him go for it. And then I've gone Carey at seven.
I've got Maxwell at seven, but again, could bat anywhere. Could they look at potentially being a batsman deeper and playing Mitch Marsh as another pace bowler? I mean, they've got Cummins, Stark, Ty, then you've got Stoinis, you've got Zampa who can bowl, and then you've got even Maxwell and Labuschagne.
Have you There's gone a lot with of bowlers Ty there. In your bowling attack?
I have.
I've gone Josh Hazlewood.
I was close, but again, I thought for that different change-up.
Yeah.
Hazlewood would be dangerous on English pitches.
I think Cummins is maybe the next one who goes out for me in the one
really?
Days. In the one days, I just don't rate him as much.
Ooh.
Even with that T20 side, I'd say Cummins is the next one out for both of those. I think he's a sensational bowler, but I don't think, with Stark, obviously, it's that left armour.
He'll always play
insane
the short
form. In the depth. He's one of our best three bowlers in all three formats, regardless, yeah. I think. And I think Cummins is probably that next one out for me. Hazlewood in the one days, I feel like, is extremely good. I feel like he's pretty well suited to one day bowling, whereas Cummins isn't as much.
It's an interesting. I'm gonna disagree. I think Cummins has to be in there personally, but I appreciate your view.
Yep.
Obviously.
100%. Look, that's the beauty of cricket. We get to discuss all these things, and then Cricket Australia just ignore all of them and go with some ridiculous 11 that nobody wanted.
Exactly. Like, when I remember back when Australia went and played South Africa in South Africa.
Yep.
And we played a bowling attack of Scott Boland, Dan Worrell. John Hastings was the big dog of that attack. Didn't have much help.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, we kept making, like, 300s, and they would chase it in 40 overs.
We've really experienced some tough times as Australian cricketing fans.
Yeah, not as tough as some others, but we'll say
it's tough for us.
We'll cry poor.
Oh yeah, no, it was horrible.
It was horrible. Now we're going to get off the cricket.
Yep.
Because I want to get onto your All Australian team. Sean came in last week, gave his. I gave mine.
Yep.
So we'll see how similarly ours match up, or what's different about the two.
Yep.
So we'll start from the back line. You can read out your three, and I'll see if any of mine match.
All right.
Start from the full back line. Just go away.
I've gone with Braden Maynard from Collingwood.
Yeah.
I've gone Harris Andrews at fullback and Tom Jonas in the other back pocket.
I like that. We both had the same fullback.
Yep.
Tom Jonas missed out for me, and Maynard was right in the mix but also missed out.
Yeah. Who have you gone for your fullback line?
My fullback line was I have Harris Andrews at fullback.
Yep.
I had Sam Doherty in a pocket. And in my other pocket, Brad Shepherd.
Okay, I rate that a lot. My halfback line, I've gone with Jake Lloyd from Sydney.
Good call.
Sam Collins and Luke Ryan from Freo, who has just elevated his game this year. He was in his All-Australian contention last year, but I think it'll be genuine robbery if he doesn't get it.
Oh, if he doesn't get it, it'd be a shock. I've gone Luke Ryan, halfback flank, centre halfback McGovern, and the other halfback flank, Darcy Moore.
Okay, I like that a lot. Darcy Moore would have been in for me, but obviously he's just missed those few games. And it's sort of like, I think in the games he has played, he's been all Australian form, but obviously he's missed a few, and a lot of these blokes have played all of, if not most of the season.
Fair enough.
Through the centre, I've got Mitch Duncan and Hewmett Cluggage on the wings, with Nat Fyfe right in the thick of it in the centre.
Okay, well, on the wings, I've got Mitch Duncan and Sam Menegola.
Yep, big Sam Menegola fan.
And in the centre, I've got Taylor Adams.
Okay, I rate that a lot. Off the half forward line, I've got Christian Petrarca, Tommy Hawkins, and Butler.
On the half forward line, I've got Tabanar on the flank.
Yep.
Centre half forward, Josh Kennedy.
Okay.
And on the other half forward flank, Mitchy Wallace.
Okay. My full forward line, I've gone with Tom Papley, Josh Kennedy, and Matt Tabanar.
I like it. My full forward line, I've gone with Charlie Cameron.
Yep.
Tom Hawkins at full forward. And in the other pocket, which looking back on it was probably a mistake, but I can't go against it now. Probably should have been Dan Butler, who I forgot. Got the young Richmond forward, Jake Arts up there.
Yeah, really experiment. Do I think he'll make the All-Australian squad, like the big 44? No, but...
I think he's had an extremely good year, Jake.
He has had a good year, but I think he will get overlooked. Through the centre, obviously, there was really four ruckmen you could choose from in Gawn, Grundy, Goldstein and Nick Nat. And as much as we both hate to say it, Nick Nat has been one of the best ruckmen this year.
He has, especially with his tap work.
Although West Coast fans will say that he's been doing that his whole career, that is simply not the case. Even when he has been fit, he hasn't been a top ruckman until this year, which he has been. But I've gone with Grundy as my ruckman. I still think, obviously, not as good a season by his standards, but I still think he's had a very good season. And then Jack Steele and Lachie Neal grabbing the taps from him.
Fair enough. Well, I personally think, as good as Grundy's been okay, in my opinion, I think he's struggled a lot this year.
Yep.
I think a lot of those close games have really tired him out. It just looks like he needs a rest. But so I've gone with Nick Nat.
Yep.
Then my Rover and Ruck Rover, I've gone with Travis Boak.
Okay.
And Lachlan Neal.
Fair enough. Lachlan Neal really firming for that Brownlow spot right now.
Yeah, I have to see how that unfolds.
Yeah. On the bench, I've gone with Clayton Oliver.
Yep.
Jacob Wiedering, Bradley Shepherd, and Patrick Dangerfield.
Nice, nice. On the bench, I've gone with Sam Collins.
Yep.
Dusty Martin.
Okay.
Tom Papley.
Yep.
And the second ruckman, Toddy Goldstein.
Okay, I don't mind that at all.
Did you have a second ruckman there?
I did not have a second ruckman. Okay. I think as good as the ruckman have been, I think there's been better around the ground players.
Was Mason Cox close for you?
I did have Mason Cox in contention for my half back line. I thought he's pretty solid off the half back when he does get the opportunity to go there, but he just missed out for me.
Fair enough. Talking about Mason Cox, kicked two last week.
Yep.
Is the big American back?
Well, you see, I'm sure you would have seen he's got another year on his contract now.
It's
because
exciting.
He's played these recent games. So that is exciting for Collingwood fans. And obviously, we've discussed it a lot, Collingwood's tall forward stocks has just been disappointing as of late. And as much as it shouldn't be, Mason Cox really can be the difference in there sometimes. Just
look, I'm going to say it. I think we're a much better side when Cox is in there because at least he brings the ball to ground.
That's fair. I think if you went with a sort of trio of Darcy Cameron, Brody Myercheck and Mason Cox, that could be pretty dangerous. But it seems like Bucks is pretty firm on, you know, Cox and Cameron being interchangeable.
Well, we went with that trio last week and it seemed to work.
Yeah.
I like it because then Cameron can go and do the part-time ruck work and we can keep Cox forward.
Yeah.
This week, Max Lynch, similar to your mullet, sporting a big mullet, allegedly going to be a cult hero. He's come in for Darcy Cameron and he can ruck as well. So looking forward to see how that all goes.
I think it is better you stick Cox out of the ruck and just keep him full forward. I don't rate him that highly as a ruck. He's just tall.
Yeah.
And it's the same with his full forward work, but his full forward work's a lot better than his ruck work, and he's a lot more useful when he's at his best at full forward than if he's at his best at ruck.
100%.
Because you'd much rather an extremely dangerous full forward than an extremely dangerous ruck.
Well, have you heard the news? McCarthy wants to come to the Pies.
Oh, yeah. He said it once in a podcast on Jamie and Dylan, and now that's it. He only wants to go to Collingwood.
It was literally like, I don't know if you've heard the audio.
No.
Like, I probably should have got it, but I don't have it. He basically, literally, all they did was ask him, oh, so if you end up in another, is there a club you'd, oh, I've always wanted to go to Collingwood. Like, thought I'd like it there. Yep. That was all he said. And now it's like, oh, Ken McCarthy says he wants to go to the Pies.
I wonder what it is about Collingwood that makes him want to go there.
You know? I feel like maybe just big club. Maybe just the rep of having played for the big club, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's very strange because when you look at, obviously, a lot of clubs sort of have that good vibes all around. I feel like Bulldogs is maybe one that sort of Darty would fit into in terms of personality.
I thought maybe he would have said, I want to go back to the Giants.
That would have been pretty niche. I would have liked that. Darty, Jez Finlayson could be leaving the Giants this year, so maybe it's a straight swap, bring Cam McCarthy back in.
He would fit in all right there.
I desperately want Cam McCarthy to come back and just be one of, like, be utilised correctly and just be one of the most dangerous key forwards in the game.
I think it might work at Collingwood because if he's playing that role alongside Myercheck, I feel like it could work.
Yeah, but then it's the issue of, again, Mason Cox would have to be that second ruck.
Yeah.
Which you feel like he isn't as dangerous, and it would feel more like if he did go, he would be sort of an understudy to Myercheck rather than a forward with Myercheck. Maybe he goes on the wing for you. Who knows?
Maybe. As uncertain as that sounds, I mean, 2018, Cox was doing the second ruck work and it worked.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you get the goalie back, you can swing him at full forward as well, using his pace and leading ability. Obviously, the Hawks, Gooch, they've struggled the last few weeks.
Which, a lot of people come up to me and they're like, ha ha ha, you guys are shit now. And I'm like, honestly, I'd rather us be this shit than, like, just top eight contenders, won't ever win the flag. Like, I'd rather us do bad, get some good draft picks, you know, find out our weaknesses, find out our strengths, rather than just be super inconsistent the whole year and be like, top four, oh wait, bottom four, top four, we just missed the eight. I'd rather us get a good draft pick, figure out what we need to do, who we need to keep, who we need to get rid of, and actually get a reboot. Because we haven't been in a premiership window. Everyone who says we are is lying to themselves. You know, we keep bringing in players who you'd bring in if you were in a premiership window, like Chad Wingard or Sam Frost or
Tom Scully,
John Patton or Yama and Impey, which Wingard and Impey have worked. Frost has been okay, but I think it's like, why are you bothering bringing those players in when we're not going to win a flag with them?
Yeah, I agree.
Like, especially with Wingard, he's been probably the best of those ones, but you give up Ryan Burton, who's a very promising defender, and pick 19 as well, which ended up being, I think, Rosie or something.
Oh, wow.
Maybe it was Butters, but it was still a very solid pick from Port Adelaide, and it's like, was that really worth it if you look in hindsight?
You'd have to say probably not.
No, so I'm pretty excited. I'm like pretty stoked genuinely that we're going to go into a draft with picks because I can't remember the last time.
So you're third last at the moment or?
I think fourth last.
So you'd be looking at pick four.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
And I think losing to Adelaide was a stroke of genius from Clarko because if Adelaide went the season winless, they would probably get a priority pick, which means we would go from pick four to five. But Clarko thought, okay, we're not going to make the top eight anymore. let's lose to Adelaide so they don't get that priority pick, so we can keep pick four.
Not only do they lose, they made Adelaide look pretty good.
I know. They made it look realistic, and that's why Clarko is a coaching genius. He's the greatest to ever do it. I'll be upset when he goes, because if we bring in Brett Ratten, who's currently our assistant, we'll probably just end up like Carlton. If we bring in
Brett Ratten's at St Kilda.
Not Brett Ratten, sorry. Brendan Bolton.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Big faults.
Brendan Bolton, that'd be very, maybe not the right move.
Surely Sam, there's a Sam Mitchell.
Yeah, you'd think Sam Mitchell would. Either way, I just hope we can go to the draft, do some good in it, keep our young players like Will Day, James Warple, who are performing very well, and just 5 years from now, really start to put it all together.
Fair enough. Well, I also wanted to just speak briefly about Carlton, because I thought last night against the Giants they were really charging to potentially keep their finals hopes alive. And then I know you're a GWS fan, or you'd like them.
I'm a big fan of both those. I'm a big fan of a lot of teams these days.
Look, I just really wanted Carlton to fucking dash GWS's dreams, and for a lot of that they did that and blew it in the last quarter.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on Carlton going down there?
I unfortunately didn't get to watch the game because I did have work.
Yeah.
I did watch snippets, and obviously, as you said, Carlton were in the lead for a lot of the game, and I thought, oh, geez, go on, you Blues. Yeah, and then they lost it. Carlton as a whole this season have had a lot of good signs. When you consider Paddy Cripps hasn't been at his elite best, it's very exciting what they're doing. But I feel like it would be the same as a lot of teams. I feel like the only team that has it all together right now is maybe West Coast in terms of their players in their positions, maybe Richmond as well. You feel like Carlton are just missing a couple pieces.
I feel like Geelong are running along pretty nicely.
Geelong as well. But other than that, and maybe Brisbane, although I still feel like they just need a couple pieces before they're at the level they want to be at.
Before we're going to talk very shortly about the Swedes and their locked-in scratch match that's coming up, a big pre-season game. But what we'll do first is I want to go through the matches. We'll give a few tips.
Okay.
Obviously, the round ends tonight.
Yeah.
My Pies are playing the Lions. And look, I never tip against the Mighty Pies because I can't tip against my own side. So I'm going to tip the Pies.
Okay. It'd definitely be a good game. But I'll have to back the Lions there, I think.
I understand.
I'm a big fan of Caden Coleman, who's coming in for his debut. Obviously, was rated pretty highly coming into the draft, dipped pretty low, and I'm pretty excited to see what he can produce.
We'll go through the next round, and we'll leave it there because you don't know what to tip these days.
Yep.
North Melbourne and Port Adelaide, the one game on the Saturday, what sort of AFL fixturing?
I'm sorry, I haven't looked at the fixturing at all. There's one game on a Saturday.
So the round ends tonight, and then tomorrow there is a one game on the Saturday, and they've given us North Melbourne and fucking Port.
So
and then
dumb.
Then there are three games on Sunday.
That's so dumb.
Why would
you not put three games on a Saturday and at least two on a Sunday?
Then we've got a Monday night and a doubleheader Tuesday and a Wednesday. Like, come on. Like, seriously.
They've got to realise that this is just idiotic at this point.
Anyway, back to the tips.
Yep.
North Melbourne or Port. I'm going Port.
Yeah, I don't like the race, sure. Rick Shaw these days, it just isn't moving along as he would like, so I'll have to back Port in here.
I do hope North sorted out, because I'm a Rhys Shaw fan.
Yep.
St Kilda and Hawthorn, it's the sort of game Hawthorn could probably win, but I'll back the Saints.
Can the Saints. yeah, again, I just hope we lose all our games for the rest of the season and keep low, get a good draft pick, so I'll back the Saints in here.
Geelong and Essendon, Geelong probably due to drop one, but I'll go the Cats.
Yeah, I'll back the Cats in here. Essendon have looked pretty weak lately, although Joe Danaher, although he may have been rushed back in, you think has been a very good inclusion.
He's been very good, just can't kick on goal.
Yeah, when you consider it, he's probably been the difference in Essendon's last few games, or been a very huge addition for Essendon's last few games, and does feel like maybe that was the right decision in terms of a push for finals in hindsight, but it was a big risk given his...
I think it was they had nothing to lose because they're basically, if he didn't play, he's going to leave. If they play him, maybe they win a few games, make the finals, maybe he goes, maybe I'll stay here. If he plays and gets injured, he's probably going to leave anyway. So I think it was something they had to do.
But also, if you look at it, if he had have got injured, he would have been worth a lot less.
That's true.
Had they have traded him, but if they play him and he plays well and then clubs go, oh, that's right, Joe Danaher's pretty damn good. Then he's worth a lot more.
I'd take him at the Pies.
Yeah, well, you guys are looking good for Ben Brown these days.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind getting Ben Brown.
Maybe the double. Ben Brown, Joe Danaher.
Whoa. On to the next game, Dogs and Eagles. And I'm actually going to tip the Dogs in this one. I think Eagles weren't that great against the Bombers. Bombers had their opportunities to win. And I think the Dogs played some decent footy. They blew that one against the Cats. And I just feel like the Dogs are going to get up in this one.
I have to back the Eagles in. I think
fair enough.
I think right now they're probably premiership favourites. It's between them and the Cats, I'd say. And Richmond also pretty close in there. But I'd say they're probably my premiership favourites right now, the West Coast.
Fair enough. I'd hate nothing more than to see West Coast win the flag. No offence to any West Coast fans listening.
Oh, all the offence to the West Coast fans. It's my issue with West Coast isn't West Coast, it's the fans. They're just so obnoxious. And obviously, you're not all obnoxious. Obviously, you're not all bad. But there's just so many of you that are so obnoxious. And it's like, just shut up.
To the good ones, sorry, we, you know.
Yeah.
There are good ones somewhere.
You're just the bad ones, you've ruined West Coast for me. They're good blokes. I've spoken to a lot of the blokes. They're good blokes. But, you know, I just don't want to see them win.
That's fair enough. Melbourne and Fremantle. I'm going to tip the Dockers to end Melbourne's season.
Oh, yeah. Melbourne's been looking pretty good, but Frio's been, as they have for years now, Frio's been good and then bad and then good and then bad and good and then bad.
Melbourne lost to Sydney last night. Like,
yeah, pretty disappointing. I'm going to back the D's to bounce back from that loss against Sydney, though.
Now, 18th versus 8th, Adelaide versus GWS. I'm going to back the Giants. I think if you're an opposition side, you don't want the Giants to sneak into that eight because you just don't know what damage they could do if they do get this shit together.
Yeah, the Giants, to consider they're an eighth for what has been a very poor season is very good. Although a lot of clubs have had pretty average seasons this year. But I will back the Giants in here. I think Adelaide's run of momentum will come to a swift end.
Carlton and Sydney, I'm going to go the Blues.
I'm going to back Sydney in here.
Ooh.
After beating the D's, I think they'll be up and about. And after Carlton's loss to GWS, I think they'll feel pretty deflated, feel as though they can't really make finals. And, again, just pretty deflated all round. I think Sydney will capitalise on that.
Fair enough. And the last game of this round on the Wednesday, it's a Q clash, Brisbane and Gold Coast. I think it'll be a good one, but I'm going to go Brisbane.
Yeah, again, pretty disappointing from Gold Coast this year to think where they were at. They did it last year to us as well, where they started off so well and were like, this is the year that Gold Coast do it, and it just hasn't been.
I think overall they're much, much improved year because they stayed competitive.
It's a great success from Gold Coast all around, and when you bring back Matt Rowe next year and whoever comes in as well through the draft, I think it's very exciting times. They've got a young Alex Davies who's pretty highly rated in their academy, so that'll be a big one for Gold Coast coming into next year.
Yeah, like it. So you're going the Lions?
I'm going to back in the Lions, yeah.
Fair enough. Well, if you have any disagreements, get on the socials on Instagram at MattChats and message them along. Don't be afraid. We'll post up our All-Australian teams there as well so people can have a squiz. I'll keep Jake Hartz in there. I better not change it now.
Fair enough. Now, you're talking about the Swedes' big scratch match coming up, or just the Swedes in general.
Yeah, Swedes. So, first of all, I'll talk about this weekend because the Swedes are playing in a huge clash against the next Slum Warriors in an elimination final.
Yeah, which the rules have been changed because the competition doesn't like us, Matthew.
They're not a fan of us. They're not a fan of us, Hayden.
They keep changing the rules on us, and I'm not happy. I'm not even involved that much this year. I'm not happy. I can't imagine how. You're a very nice bloke. You don't want to get mad, but I can imagine you're pretty peeved.
Well, look, it's an 11-game comp. You have to have 5 games to qualify. Yep. It's a winter comp. Like, imagine how many changes in players you're going to have each week.
Especially when you consider in your, or in our, you know, terms, the Swedes have 2 sides in this. So it's obviously just you put blokes in depending on whenever they're available time-wise. You don't think, let's stack the Blues.
Yeah, and brother. Never. So, I mean, someone that's going to have to play, TJ Dixon, Danger Man.
Yep.
Big T-Bone, he's going to have to play.
Yeah, a few real interesting inclusions here.
Me and Sean are going to have to play and just field. We're not allowed to bat.
That's disgusting.
Obviously, Colby Shocker's captaincy is really going to have to hold up. I do enjoy that I'm going to be out there because at least I can go, Colby, no, move the field.
Yeah. I think Colby's more a lead by example captain than a tactician captain.
Look, I think he's improved a lot. I think it's helped him as a cricketer and as a person.
Yeah, oh, definitely as a person. You know, I never used to like that bloke, to be honest, but now it's just really improved and he's a well-rounded bloke. But I think, again, he's a lead by example. He'll go out there, take the pill, take some wickets, go out there with the bat, put in a good shift. And I think the Swedes are going to be very dependent on a big Colby Shocker game this week. I think he's going to be the difference between whether or not the Swedes get up.
Yeah, I like it. And, of course, we have Matt Lockyer playing. So. Yeah,
who, again, very good player, but I just don't see him in this competition being as much of a difference maker as Colby Shocker.
Ooh.
Which he won't like to hear. Colby will love to hear. Obviously, I think Loxie's a more talented cricketer than Colby all around, but I think in this competition, it's Colby Shocker that's going to be the difference.
Look, tomorrow we do have a secret wicket-keeping tactic, which we're going to roll with.
Yeah.
Reece Clark's playing. So what we're looking at doing...
Opening bat and keeping.
We want to have our best keeper on the sun. So we're going to get Lox to keep without pads,
yeah.
But we also want him to bowl. So when Lox comes on, Reece, here's the gloves, brother.
It's pretty dangerous considering Reece is keeping. There may be a few buys.
Look, he kept last week.
Yep.
And let nothing through.
Okay.
So we're going to back him in.
Yep.
And see how it goes down.
Fair enough.
Now, on to that big match against Forest Field. Obviously, we've played it for 2 years.
Yep.
This is the third. Very excited. It looks like we're going to be having it at Hartfield Park. We had it at Mills last year.
Yep.
So first one was at Hartfield. That's been Mills. We're back at Hartfield. Look, we've lost two in a row. The first one was an absolute drubbing. To be fair, let's see, Jordan Jacobson, the Forestfield captain, did get in some big Gosnells recruits.
Yeah, obviously you can't really go at them like that. You recruit how you want to, but just know that we've been doing our recruiting all year, brother. So,
look, we've got some plans in place.
Yeah.
And we're ready to go. Obviously, you've never played a game against Forestfield.
No. Last year, I believe I was unavailable or just didn't want to.
Yeah, I think you're unavailable.
Oh, I think I was going to the Waffle semi-final.
Potentially.
Claremont South Freo with Lee McGarrigle. But I think I remember the first year I umpired.
Yeah.
I can't remember why I umpired and didn't play. I think I just offered to umpire.
Yeah, you and Aaron Ryland are dare, I believe, umpired.
It might have been. Wow. And that's also got one of my favourite photos of all time. Well, two of my favourite photos.
Is it the Sean Ingram photo?
One of them is the Sean Ingram, ball hitting the lid. He's ducked and he's just, you can see the blokes in the slips reacting. And then the other one is you sort of doing like a roly-poly going, and the ball's going past you and you're just sort of in a roly-poly motion.
Yeah, it was not a great day. Yeah, I just remember that. We made about 110. I think they made like close to 300 and we had to keep bowling out our overs. I'm like, well, this is slit your wrist territory.
Yeah, that was awful. But the last one, obviously, there was a few more positive signs.
I believe,
was that when Sampa Kathleen made a 50?
Made 60-odd, yeah. Let me tell you a story. So,
tell me a story.
So I think we bowled first. They got away early. Brought it back as I usually do, took four for.
Yeah, as you so often do.
Then we're batting, we're in horrendous trouble. We're like 6 for 20 or something.
Yeah.
But Seb Woods is on the book. And I'm like, okay. So I'd take Reece down to get cash out, come back, and I said, you're right in the book. Yeah, I really enjoy it. It's good. I look at the book and I'm like, what have you done? He has absolutely butchered the book. I don't know how he's managed it. The runs are wrong. There's bowlers bowling overs who, like, can't bowl anymore. And I'm like, how have you... Like, I think there was, like, 15 overs gone and there was, like, 11 overs of the bowlers. So I don't know what he'd done. So I think we fell about 40 runs short then because we got a big partnership going. Craig Stevenson and Sam Pitcathley put on a big partnership.
Our import Craig Stevenson.
He was our import, our international recruit. Put on a big partnership. We got reasonably close. I think on the book we fell about 40 short. We could have been another 15, 20 closer because it was really just on life support that book with me trying to fix it.
Yeah.
No, always a good contest against Forestfield. You know, we show good love to each other.
Yep.
Jordan Jacobson, obviously the contact that we go to organise that one, went to Darling Range. He's actually a big fan of Match Chat, so if you're listening, Jordan, g'day.
And Jordan, if you are listening, be afraid. Be very, very afraid.
Because that might be the time when we unleash you with the ball.
Yeah. Oh, look. Will I play? Maybe.
Yeah.
But now with this new haircut, obviously, I think I'm more suited to express pace bowling and just looking like a real 70s, 80s retro bowler. Maybe we get the Swedes retro kit out.
Maybe you wear the headband.
Yeah, I think so. I think we need to look into getting Swedes kits if the Swedes were made in the 80s. And just try and get some retro kits just for a game or two. Change it up.
I like that. I like that. Now, I want to talk about this. I'm going to play you a little bit of audio really quickly. Okay. So just listen up to this. Just hold on one moment. Tim-O-Matic. Yeah, so Tim-O-Matic. Every podcast I like to talk about him.
Yeah.
Obviously, because he is one of Australia's greatest artists and one of my favourites.
Yeah.
Big fan here on Matt Chats of Tim-O-Matic. Now, you may or may not have seen that the opportunity has now arisen to try and get into the AFL Grand Final. I've made a page.
Yeah.
We're trying to get some traction.
Get on it. Get the traction going. Get the big dogs in the AFL to see it.
Look, I just don't see why it can't be a thing because, you know, it's time. We're going to have to go Australian.
Yep.
He can get to Queensland.
He can. I'd back him in to get to Queensland.
You can't tell me that a parachute or set it off on grand final day is something you wouldn't want to hear.
I can imagine it would be maybe the greatest thing to happen to the AFL ever. Will it happen? Probably not. But let's we, as the people, make it happen.
We can. It's about people power. We need Tim to get involved. We need Tim to see us and go, yeah, I'd love to perform at the AFL Grand Final.
Yep.
So he's the driving force with us.
Yeah, people underestimate the power of the people, the power we as a community hold if we can just rally together. I think if we were at Optus Stadium, it would have been a much bigger chance because Tim's very much adored here in WA. Obviously, he had that big concert at Bar One that we went to where, he came a few hours late. Although there was never any set time he was going to be there. It was just set time that we were told to be there.
Exactly.
And we were waiting for 3 hours and you'd think it's in a club. The mosh wouldn't be that bad. The mosh itself wasn't that bad. It was just the people wanting to get to the front.
I was so sweaty.
That was your first sort of mosh, not mosh, but like at the front of like a sort of mosh. And you were pretty new to the whole experience, and you didn't realize that people are snakes.
They are. They're dogs.
You shouldn't trust anyone, and obviously someone came up to you. Well, what happened there in that scenario? Sean and I were just sort of holding on for dear life.
Holding on the front, so we're holding the fence, and we're like, we are not moving. We have stood here for this long.
Yep.
We are committing. Girl comes up behind me and says, I've dropped my phone down there. Can I grab it? And me being the nice guy, I'm like, yeah, of course. You've dropped your phone.
Yeah.
Go ahead. She then ducks to the ground in front of me and then stands up.
Yeah.
I was like, she didn't drop her phone. She swindled me, the bitch.
Yeah, I saw you move back a spot, and I thought...
And that's when I just really squeezed my way back in.
Yeah, and that was painful, may I say.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Sean and I were looking out for the people next to us, because over the time, we'd probably moved about 2 metres to our right, which doesn't sound like much, but when you consider how packed it is, the fact that you've been squeezed 2 metres to your right, we were holding some concern for the people next to us who were almost pushed up against a wall.
We probably started our stand middle stage. We end up probably right.
Just off right. Or stage left, if
stage
you will.
Left, yeah.
But, you know, Sean and I were concerned for the people next to us. Sean and I are feeling pretty tight. We managed to get a bit of a crowd behind us. Sean put the cricket on and we were
getting
around that a fair bit. There was a lot of hype. Obviously, Australia lost that game to India. But a very big concert, and now you know for next time when it comes to moshing, you tell no one. And there was also an experience where some bloke, I believe, during the middle of the set.
Oh, he was horrendous. That bloke, if you're listening, I highly doubt you are a genuine flog.
What happened in that scenario?
I was standing there, and this bloke, like literally probably 3 times my size, was a huge. Yeah. Like, just, can I go to the front? I'm like, no. Like, we stood here for 3 hours. I'm not moving to let you have a go at the front, brother. Yeah. Squeezes his way through, and like, just eventually pushes his way. He offered me $50 to swap with. I was like, no. Anyway, he pushes his way there. He goes, yeah, and like, it's these idiots that, you know, like, don't even know a song other than Parachute as well.
But you've never heard of Slip.
In the words
of Ian Archibald, fake fan, fake fan.
Definitely fake fan.
But yeah, I feel like, you know, obviously there was a lot of young ladies, not young, but, you know, 18, 19-year-old, who were at the front, and some of them obviously attractive, and I feel like some of the blokes were there trying to get to the front for the wrong reason. They were sort of around us, but more because we were focused on Tim as much as they were, rather than us being focused on them, where the other blokes came in and thought, this is my chance to impress the ladies.
There was also a point there, I don't know if I told you this, a female was the one that got phone was behind me again at one point, and she's trying to grab onto me. I'm like, girls don't come up to me. Like, like, it's clear what you're trying to
back
do.
Back off, you heathen.
Yeah. So anyway, she's there, and she's like, oh, you've got a boyfriend, but, like, if you give me, I'll kiss you if I can go to the front. I was like, no. Like, wow.
What a deal. Like, you're telling me, if I let you go to the front, you'll kiss me?
Well.
Well, wait, let me call my mum real quick. This is just monumental. A kiss.
Yeah.
Really, like on the cheek.
No.
Wow. Oh, what a slag.
So I did it and went to the back. Yeah. No, I didn't.
You should have punched her.
I held that spot the whole time and I got to touch Tim's abs.
Oh, he took my phone.
He did.
He shouted out the whole cricket squad. We went in our Kenwick cricket polos as
we
well.
Did.
We brought Michael Curnow with us. Jeez, he had a fun time.
Michael Curnow, veteran member of the cricket club.
Emphasis on veteran. Did he look out of place there? Maybe. Did he get kicked out pretty swiftly? Yes. Did he get a kebab and then come back in? I believe so. And then I believe he got kicked out
he
again.
Did. He was having shots of, apparently, like vodka or something with the kebab owner, so...
It sounds like he had a sensational... I don't think Tim-O-Matic is Curnow's scene. I think shots of vodka with a kebab owner more is. And to be fair, if it wasn't for Tim-O-Matic, that would probably be my scene as well.
That's fair.
But yeah, onto Tim-O-Matic in the grand final, back to where we're going. I think it's a very good option. I think it's one where people go, oh, Tim-O-Matic.
Yeah.
And it'll sort of just be the throwback and the thing is, Australia needs right now.
I reckon even the people that would be against it, then he'd get out there and he'd do passion and be like, well, that was all right, eh?
Yeah. Can't be worse than the Black Eyed Peas last year.
Exactly. Do we want Meatloaf back? No.
Jeez, Tones and I as well. Oh, jeez. Tones and I, Black Eyed Peas, it's been some misses. I hate Tones and I so much. So very much. I'm sure she might. Actually, no, I'm not sure she's a good person. She's probably a horrible person. I reckon she's a communist sympathiser. I reckon she's got several superannuation accounts. And I do not trust Tones and I. And I certainly don't like her music at all. Jesus, is it awful.
Now, we've got a couple more topics we just want to cover before we finish. Yep. First of all, I'm going to save the last one for the end. So I'm going to go...
The big one?
The big one.
Okay, the big announcement.
We're going to talk about Cordial to Fanta now, though.
Okay. So, oh, I thought this was the big announcement.
No, I'm going to...
Oh, the other big announcement.
The big story time.
Wow, you guys are in for a treat this episode. What's the time at? If you've stuck through to the 48-minute mark, you are in for an absolute treat.
You think you've got the best stuff already, but it's all to come.
No.
Now, Cordial to Fanta, if you've listened to previous podcasts, or if you haven't, me, you and Sean got a bit of a band going called Cordial to Fanta. Bryza, who's been on this podcast before, hosts Sunday Sessions, which is a show acoustic bands come in, do covers or their own work.
Yeah.
And we're challenging ourselves to go in there unrehearsed and see if we can pull off a performance that he believes is realistic enough.
Now, you say unrehearsed. Obviously, you weren't here for this. Sean and I do have an original.
Yes, I've told him there's an original called T for Three.
Yeah, Sean and I have an original, and it's about this lovely, lovely young woman that Sean and I both absolutely adore and are completely infatuated with.
Yeah.
And it's a song about not so much fighting for her love, but sort of bidding for her love and telling her what we can bring to the table until we sort of eventually realise that we're both fighting the same battle here. Tea was made for three people, you know? But Sean and I have actually performed that before to a live crowd at a 21st. Nice. That said young woman was at. It was her daughter's 21st.
Nice.
And we were there performing, and it got a big reaction from the crowd. They seemed to love it a bit. So I'm pretty excited to... now be able to provide this to the masses, to the public. And obviously you'll be joining in with us with some of your acoustic movements as well.
Yeah.
Just really providing some of the ad-libs and some of the just the music behind it.
Yeah, my main involvement will be with the other tunes, but yep. I'll be there with some sort of backing, maybe tambourines or maracas.
Yeah, obviously, I think that's where One Direction went wrong. They tried too much to fit in all their members in every song.
Yeah.
I think you got to realise what songs fit which people.
Yeah.
And so on.
Everyone's just got to play their role.
Yeah, it's about...
It's like laying a shepherd.
It's exactly. It's about role-playing, you know? The double wing shepherd is maybe the most beautiful thing you can do on a footy field, but it doesn't go down on the stats sheet.
Where's the shepherd stats? That's what I want to know.
And obviously the other songs. Are we announcing what songs
well,
we are doing?
Well, we haven't logged in, but we're looking at doing Believe by Cher mixed in with Timo Maddox's Parachute.
Yep.
So I think Sean does lead vocals for Believe. I think maybe I come in for a little bit of Timo Maddox because I feel like I 100% know the words of Timo Maddox. Sean definitely 100% knows the words of Believe
by Cher.
And I think we just roll with it. You know, there'll be times where, you know, do you believe in life after? And we can come in, but do you believe? You know, just really bringing some pots and pans, wooden spoons. I'm thinking like a water bottle with some rocks in the shake.
Yep.
Get real spiritual.
Yeah. And one I really want to push for is Gold Digger by Kanye West.
Yep.
Because Sean maybe has the most beautiful singing voice I know of any young lad.
Yep.
Maybe it's in his South African genes. Who knows?
Nice.
But he I've forgotten who the bloke is. Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx. Yes, I think so.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, his lines in Gold Digger. Sean does that really well.
Okay.
Really beautifully, and I just want the masses to be able to hear that. And then obviously you and I can come in with a bit of Kanye. I feel like you're a very Kanye-like person, Matthew. Very large and in charge terms of your manner.
In terms of Kanye, let's talk a little bit about Kanye real quick.
Okay.
Okay, so do you remember back in the VMAs when he dogged Taylor Swift on stage? You remember that?
Yeah, because it was God's word.
That's what I'm... He's come out in the last week and been like, look, I did that because God told me.
To be fair... Again, Taylor Swift, great career and all that, great music video, but Beyonce did have one of the greatest music videos.
She did, but there's no need to interrupt the poor young lady when she's doing a speech. Even if God told you to, you dickhead.
That moment brought about one of the greatest albums of all time in My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. So without that moment, we wouldn't have had what is widely considered as one of the greatest albums of our generation. So that was a very important moment in music history for many reasons.
I actually have some exclusive audio from that VMAs that night.
Yep.
I'm going to play it. No one's heard this before.
Okay.
This is an exclusive to Matt Chats. This is what actually went down.
Can I ask, did you get this audio because you and Taylor Swift are currently having a romantic fling?
I wish. look, this is just something, this is exclusive, never heard before. So this is what actually happened on that night. Are you ready?
Yep.
I'm really happy for you. I'm gonna let you finish. But Cinematic had one of the best videos of all time. One of the best videos of all time.
I assume he was talking about Parachute.
I think he might have actually been talking about Everything Is Allowed.
Okay, yeah.
The pink suit that Tim wears and that, go check it out if you haven't seen the Everything Is Allowed music video. It's a big party, lots of people coming.
Yeah.
And I think he could have been talking about that one. I don't know.
Yeah, pink's some beautiful symbolism as well for just the love that we should be sharing to one another, which Timo Maddox always preaches. It's really important. And you preach as well. ELE, everyone love everyone. Let's really just love all our brothers and sisters.
Exactly. Now, it's time for the big moment we want to talk about.
Yep.
It's story time.
Yep.
I'm going to set the scene, then I'm going to let you take it away.
Okay, can I try something here?
Sure.
Can I call the hero and see if he answers?
All right, well, should we explain it first?
Okay.
So what happened was we actually play indoor soccer. We're not very good at soccer.
Speak for yourself.
We have a couple of guys who actually play soccer in Ben Kerry and Harrison Hayes who make us a bit better.
I was pretty good. Sorry to just interject here. Yeah, I was pretty good in my high school indoor soccer career. I played with Ben Kerry often. We went to high school together, and we had an indoor soccer league during lunchtimes that fancied myself out. Got a couple red cards. I thought I was pretty good.
Nice, I'll rate that.
Yep.
Now, we haven't won a game this year. We usually don't win a game until about 9 games in. We're 0-2, but we've had pretty close matches.
Yep.
This game, look, we can run through the whole scenario later, but Ben Kerry kicked the match winner.
Yep.
Let's give him a call, see if he answers.
Okay, are we going through the line or should I?
We'll go through there. We'll just put it on speaker and put it through the mic.
Okay,
if he answers, this would be huge. We could get a rundown of how it all happened. Yep. Will he answer? It's not looking good.
Hello? Oh, Ben, how are you?
Sorry, who's this?
It's Hayden.
Hayden?
Hayden Narducci.
Oh, you don't even have my number saved, Benny.
No, sorry, man, I don't.
All right, you're on Matt Arrowsmith. You're on his podcast right now. We're discussing the Swedes' indoor soccer win on Wednesday. Did you just want to just talk about those last, 10 seconds for us?
Last play?
Yeah, just that last play and what went down.
How did it feel?
Yeah, well, I was just getting a little touch on the ball and then our mate Todd played me through and what can I say, the rest was history.
And obviously you were getting pretty involved with the opposition. Obviously there was a few contentious refereeing decisions. There was
the keeper was chirping at me, so I had to chirp back a bit.
Yeah, and the celebration at the end as well after you had got past the keeper onto the open goal. What was the driving force behind that?
He's just being a bit of a
knob,
that was all.
All right. Well, it was great to get chatting to you, and it was great to see that moment live, and I hope I can see more of it throughout the season.
Yeah, you will do, mate. Don't worry.
All right. Thanks, Benny. Love you.
All right. Catch you later. Oh,
didn't even say love you, too.
That's exciting. So basically what happened is we were up 4-3.
Yeah.
And then there was
a sensation. Sorry to once again interject.
Go ahead.
We were 1-0 down and then we went 2-1 up.
Yep.
And then we went 3-2 down and then we went 4-3 up.
Yep.
And then you go from there 4-3 up after all these lead changes.
About 7 minutes left. We held them for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking we might be able to just hang on here.
Yeah.
And then they had a shot. The ball's hit the top post, or the crossbar.
Yep.
It's gone downwards. It stayed in play by about probably a 30 centimetres, rule of length.
A good portion.
And the umpire's called a goal.
Yep.
And we've all gone, you're blind, you stupid fuck.
Yep.
They've all celebrated, knowing it's not a goal.
Yeah.
And they're chirping. It's like, I'm like, mate, you've equalised, and there's still 2 minutes left.
Yeah. And
like, settle down.
You fellas play this sport.
Yeah.
And they were some knobheads. Other than that one bloke who is pretty nice, they were absolutely
knobheads. So I'd say about 12 seconds left. They get a corner, and we're like, shit.
Yep.
We've just got to try not concede him. We'll take the draw.
Yep.
Anyway, I don't even know how it happened. The ball somehow ricochets to the middle of the court. Todd passes to the centre to Ben.
Yeah. Well, I think what happened was Todd kicked it. And I remember, I think the keeper was coming at Todd.
Yeah.
And Todd's kicked it to try go to Ben. It's deflected off the keeper and gone sort of to Ben. And Ben's just got this open passage of goals. He's maybe like five. He's just past the halfway line.
I think there's 3 seconds left. And I've seen Ben in this open area. And there's 3 seconds left. I'm like, I don't have to defend anymore. He's about to. And I've just run up like this because I just know.
Yeah.
And they've all. I don't know what they did, but surely they were just like, shit.
How bad would it have been if he just tried running it in? And then,
oh.
But it was a sensational way to finish the game. Obviously, the crowds, we generate some crowds there. Obviously, the people who come to watch to play the next game, they tend to like our style.
They do.
We're loud and we're
They
proud.
Like us till we verse them.
Yeah, and then they absolutely hate us. It's always the way. They absolutely hate us because we're just chirping them.
Yeah.
We'll be 10-2 down, we'll kick a goal and we'll lose our minds. And
like, we're back!
And then they'll be real upset with themselves, as you should be if you concede goals to us. But a sensational 5-4 game. One of the greatest games Fitzpatrick's has probably ever seen.
I'd say it would be an absolute classic and keeps our season alive.
Yeah, obviously we came in after, what was it, 9-11 games?
Something like that.
11 games. And for those 11 games, we got a point for each game.
So that's better than we've ever done before.
So we're currently sitting on 14 points after 14 games.
I think we're in the box seat to play finals.
Imagine being a team that's toiled away all season, got, say, 3 wins in those 11 games, toiled away. You know, you're on 9 points, and this new team comes in, and they just jump you. They just jump you on the ladder. Haven't played a game, and they jump you on the ladder.
I'm looking forward to seeing where we are on that ladder. Have we ever had back-to-back wins, ever?
Maybe when we had the 3 or 4 Swede sides.
I think the Swede side, just as a core, the genuine Swede side, has never won 2 in a row.
No. There was a time where it was just Kenwick footy players, and it was. Not even the ones we hang out with. It was pretty niche.
It was Jim Bryant, Dave William Harris, Saff.
Yeah, Dirt Harris Pickles. Was pretty niche. Pickles, Craddock was there.
He was.
Steel Millen played a couple games.
That was a time where we had 5 weeks in a row where we lost by a goal.
Yeah,
and like legitimately.
I remember it was the Swedes versus the Cedar Swedes. There was a fight burst out. It was Swedes versus Swedes, and it got heated up and intense. I think Ash Nelson and Jim Bryant maybe got a bit angry at each
other. Just remember that I was the one that conceded Sean Ingram's only fucking ever goal, and I'll never live it down. It was like so close to, and it was like a soft kick, and I fucking missed it, and I was like, oh no, why?
Oh yeah, he's a real defensive stalwart, Sean Ingram.
He is. He's a fighter.
Yeah.
He's a gritter and what's the word?
He's a real Zach Dawson type.
He is, with his feet.
Hits it hard. Isn't maybe the most skilled, but fuck, he gives it a go.
He does. Well, on that note, I think we're done here.
Yep.
It's been a pleasure having you on. I hope to have you on again in the future.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure being on.
And I'm looking forward to our Cordial Defender debut next week. Stay tuned on the socials for video of that.
All right. And here's Parachute by Tim O'Matic. Tim O'Matic.